What is cool?
Cool is doing well in school.
Now that's cool.
Anyone who does well in school is a nerd.
Now that's not.
Cool is an attitude.
And if you have the right attitude, you can achieve anything.
Be cool. Stay in school.
Be cool, stay in school. I like it, guys.
Yeah, I'm back. I'm loving these public service announcements. These are beautiful.
Folks, welcome back to Mass Radio. School. Sports Talk presented by 2.5 Athletes. This is a show that's a convergence of mass media with Laser, Loot Air, Student Radio. We are going to open up the coverage to national coverage as Drew is just getting so excited. He can't even sit down, folks. Again, if we were a live stream right now, you'd see him in his tights, all that great stuff. If at any time, folks, you want to join the conversation and call the show, do so at 253-535-7332. Again, that number is 253-535-7332.
All right, guys. March Madness came to an end last Monday night. The game was phenomenal, right? Obviously, the game-winning shot by Chris Jenkins will always stand out. He got a great look. I mean, I think that my half-athlete self probably maybe could have made that shot. It was a great look, all right? But the shot by Page, I don't know, I can't remember his first name right now.
Marcus Page.
Marcus Page, that's what I thought it was, to tie the game. It should not have gone down. That shot shouldn't have gone down. That was a wild shot.
That was the best Steph Curry impression I've seen in college.
So, all right, open it up to you guys. What are your takeaways from that game? What are your takeaways from the tournament? Like, talk to me. Tell me about it.
Kellen, you want to start?
Sure, I'll start. So, you know, we all talk about that last shot, and I think it – and no, don't get me wrong. Focus on Paige. Talk about the composure to shoot a great three-point shot. But you talk about Ryan
– oh, come on. Archie Diacono. He's
folks,
Italian.
It's a tough name
like
to pronounce.
It is
Archie
tough...
Diacono.
Artisoni getting mad about how you
speaking
can't
of
pronounce
Italian
that name.
Like me.
Speaking
Archie
of Italian,
Diacono.
I could go for some Olive Garden right now, guys. Those breadsticks
are you buying?
Sound good. I don't know.
Are you buying?
I'll go.
I dug myself into a tough corner there.
Yeah, that was bad.
But Ryan, Archie Diacono.
Very good.
You talk about that four-second play call. And first off, what a great play call by Jay Wright. What I love is, again, when I watch sports, I think my dad's kind of taught me this. I love watching teams in crisis. So when that shot was made by the great North Carolina player, you watch Jay Wright and you watch Villanova, and you just watch their composure. They didn't blink. They said, okay, we got 4 seconds. Let's run that play. Not sure if that play has a certain name or whatever it is.
Archie Diacono said they run that play every day to end practice.
Exactly, to end practice. And just to be ready for that situation, you talk about the composure of Ryan – Archie Diacono, I just love saying that name. I might continue to say it.
That's awesome. You're doing good.
You talk about Archie Diacono and Paige just being on the same page, and I love, no pun intended.
That was well done.
I love that Paige was the inbounder, and he's the one that took the shot because so many teams forget about the inbounder. And I think, Drew, you can totally attest to that. And so what I love is that Ryan, obviously, in my opinion, I think, you know, and I'm sure there's a play called – for Ryan to actually take that shot if he has it. But obviously he gave it up to Page, and that was a smart move because he was kind of getting double-teamed, even triple-teamed, I think, at one point when he was dribbling up the court. Flipped it off to Page. And I just think it all started with Archie Diacono and his composure to give it to Page. So I think a lot of credit goes to Ryan. Obviously, again, for Page to hit the shot, don't get me wrong, that's on a different stratosphere of clutchness and all that kind of great stuff. But in my opinion, Drew, it starts with Ryan.
I agree. So do I get to go through my – so I was upset that we were having phone troubles the day I called in for March Madness because I really wanted to talk my bracket because I was perfect through the first day.
Wow. Which is incredible.
I got out of the first day perfect.
So you had Michigan State losing.
No, that wasn't the first day.
Oh, okay, the
that
second
day.
Day
two.
Of, okay, I got you.
Day two was Michigan State. So first off, Middle Tennessee State broke everyone's bracket by playing extreme fundamental basketball.
Sure.
That was awesome to see. Let's start there. Second, you always got to bet on Yale. You always got to bet on the Ivy League guys. At least one of them is going to outsmart someone and win a ball game. Yeah. Always got to bet on the Ivy Leagues. Okay. But here are my three things. If you want to keys to a March Madness to a great bracket, I told Christian this. I've told you this. Number one, you bet on the team with the most veterans, Kansas.
Mm-hmm.
They're at least going to the Sweet 16, if not
Oklahoma?
The Elite Eight. Oklahoma, Buddy Hield. Okay. So team with the most seniors, most veterans, most non-true freshmen, sophomores, guys who are older than that. You have to remember there's only one sophomore who starts for Kansas. Everyone else is older.
Wow.
Okay. So there's that. Second of all, you have to bet on the most established coaches in the game. Coach K and Duke. You know, you have to bet on, let's see who else.
Roy Williams.
Calipari, Williams, those guys. Jim Boeheim.
Yep.
You have to bet on Boeheim. Everyone was like, well, Syracuse is not that good. No, Syracuse is very good.
Right, that 2-3 zone is pretty amazing.
Syracuse has been running a zone that no one's been able to crack for years. So it's fantastic. So you got to bet on established coaches. And then you bet on the ACC. You got to remember, six of the Sweet 16 teams were ACC teams. And the ones that weren't had established coaches and seniors.
Mm.
I mean, there was not one team who was like, oh my gosh, we're shocked they're in the Sweet 16. Everyone who was in the Sweet 16 was supposed to be in the Sweet 16. It was very obvious that out of all the upsets and craziness that happened in the first two rounds, the cream rose to the top. And that was easy to see. As far as national championship game goes, that is the best national championship game I have watched in my lifetime.
Where were you when you watched it?
I was at home. I was just sitting there. I was just on my couch at home.
Christian, where were you?
It's in my dorm room.
Yeah.
I was so in the weight room. Fleager
141, come through. Fleager 141.
I was in the weight room, no sound. It was still fun to watch.
Okay, so I was watching on my TV at home. And so that, first off, one of the most competitive games I've ever seen at the national championship level, one. Two, the last buzzer beater since the historic NC State team with Jim Valvano. That was the last buzzer beater to win a national championship game. And I just can't say enough about Villanova and the way that game was coached.
How long has Jay Wright been there at the top of your head?
I don't know exactly how long Jay Wright's been there.
Christian, look that up for us.
But I know that is the best coached basketball game I've seen, best game plan I've seen going into a game, best execution of a game plan I have seen. Villanova took the air out of the ball and said, North Carolina, we're not going to let you run. You're going to run half-court offense, and we're going to sit Ochewu or whatever that big dude's last name is, I forget, in the middle of the key, and if you want to take the ball to the rack and get over him, God bless you. And if you want to shoot contested threes, fine. But that's how you're going to beat us. You're not going to beat us by running the floor with your athletes. That was great. So we get down to the last few minutes here. Marcus Paige took the most unfundamental, dumb play he could have done and made it fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
That shot him into the first round of the NBA draft.
Wow. Yeah. That's a big statement. But it's...
Shot him into the first round of the NBA draft. However, I think Marcus Paige is a great player. He reminds me a lot of Steph Curry at Davidson. Is he going to be the same caliber as Steph Curry? Probably not. Mm-hmm. But can he be a really, really good NBA player? Yes. I think Marcus Paige
is. And don't you think that helped Chris Jenkins a little bit too?
I think Marcus Paige is going to have a very successful career. Okay. So let's go to the final play. So... Roy Williams was trashed on social media and in national broadcast coverage for not guarding the inbounder.
Mm-hmm.
Where's Chris Jenkins going to hurt you from 60 feet away?
He won't. He's too far away from the bucket.
He won't. So
he's not going to make that.
So if you go guard the inbounder and Archie Diacono catches that screen at the half court line and there's no one sitting in the center of the floor to help, guess what Archie Diacono is going to go do? Lay the ball up. And if you go to help, one of the corners is going to be wide open with time to set his feet and shoot the ball.
But if someone is in the inbounder's face, isn't that give a little more pressure to get it in?
No, because you're playing 3-on-4 or 4-on-4.
But it's harder to get the ball in if there's someone in your face.
Well, yeah, but here's what you need to do. You want to put someone on the inbounder, right? Okay, and if you have two guys in the front court, all you need to do is screen and pass fake, and you can move someone. It's not that hard to inbound the ball with someone there. It's really,
but with 4 seconds left, there's a little bit more intensity.
Right, but it's really not that hard to inbound the ball in that point, especially because you have a coach who's going to probably drop a play to get someone open.
But who's a team that lost? They were up by 12. They lost in like the last minute and a half. What team was that?
I know what you're talking about.
I know the game you're talking about.
So yeah. I'm just saying there's examples of inbounding is important.
Inbounding is important. Yeah. So you can't guard him because what you're doing is you're trying to get to overtime at this.
You're trying.
You're trying to get to overtime at this point.
The only thing that would have made this game better is if Villanova was down by one.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
It would have been a do or die shot.
It would have been a do or die
shot. If he misses that shot, okay, we're going
overtime. So you can't guard the inbounder. It's impossible. You have to stay behind the half court line because he's not going to hurt you from all the way out there. And if you get beat, you need help. So what happens is this. So now you walk that guy away. Okay, so now you put Bryce Johnson, who's guarding Chris Jenkins, you put him at the top of the key. Okay, Archie Diacono comes off that screen. Okay, the only reason Archie Diacono did not get all the way to the rack is because guess who was standing at the top of the key helping? Bryce Johnson, Chris Jenkins' man. Hmm. Now, if he wasn't there, Archie Diacono is probably shooting the layup or kicking for a wide-open jumper. Okay, but that's not what happened. Instead, Archie Diacono put the brakes on, jump-stopped, nice fundamental play.
Absolutely.
Reverse pivot and pitched the ball. When he reverse pivoted, he screened out not only his man who was trailing him off the high ball screen, but the other guy, but Bryce Johnson, who was sitting in help, screened both of them off.
And Johnson's long.
And long. So he screened off enough room to where Bryce Johnson couldn't contest, let Chris Jenkins get a set feet set behind him, pitched him the ball, easy jump shot, bucket. The only thing that North Carolina could have done better was trap the ball screen at the half court line and forced a scramble. I would have rather seen a scramble at the clock than let Villanova run exactly what they wanted to run. The play went off without a hitch. Did you see? No one was forced to move anywhere they didn't want to go.
Yeah.
They just read and react and caught the ball, and it was an easy shot.
So here's a 2.5 athletes poll question. Once the shot was made by the North Carolina, once it was made by Paige,
yeah.
I thought, there's no way. I thought, this goes into overtime. North Carolina, and they, after the game, you watch the press conference, all those guys from North Carolina was like, that game's going into overtime, we're taking it. And I think Roy Williams, everybody in the gym thought that.
Yep.
I even think Jay Wright thought that. He said the momentum. So did you think, after that shot was made by Paige, did you think North Carolina was going to win?
No.
Okay. Christian?
No.
Oh, I don't know.
Villanova had done such a great job all night of executing 4 seconds in basketball.
It's a long time.
An eternity.
Yes,
that's a layup.
It's not like 4 seconds in football. You can go the length of the court in basketball on dribbles in
and get a
probably
layup.
4 seconds.
Unless you're dribbling.
No.
Wow.
In dribbling. No, I could probably, I don't know if I can get to the rim in 4 seconds, but I at least break the key.
No, I
get to the key in 4 seconds. So here's the deal. For a Division I athlete, you're going to get to the rack in less than 4 seconds. So someone has to stop the ball. That was the thing. That Villanova ran the perfect play.
Totally.
And I knew, and I just had a feeling when Archie Diacono caught the ball in the game, I was like, this game's over.
And then last thing, Christian, before you get to the NBA, I watched Jay Wright's interview after the game. He said the reason why he didn't celebrate after that shot.
He thought there was another play.
Exactly. So just the mindset of coaches, I love that. It's like, okay.
He thought they didn't win. He thought there was going to put time back on the clock.
Yes, we just scored a three, but I'm already focusing on the next play, the next defensive stop. I love that.
That was awesome.
No. The only thing I retweeted from that, because, of course, Twitter blew up. The only thing I retweeted from that is someone who works in the PR, the something of the Mariners, tweeted that the game manager had some onions to go ahead and fire off the pyro when that shot went down because there could have been another play. Yes.
Time out. Onions. Does anybody know who where that call came from here?
Some famous basketball shot call.
It was a famous announcer used that call, and he had to say onions because he was on live broadcast.
Are we.
And he
so
couldn't. And
we'll
he
not talk about what else onions
mean. Yeah, and
it just took some guts to fire off the pyro when the shot went
up. What'd it take? Onions. Onions.
It was a great shot. It was a great tournament. Thank you, March Madness.
Yes, thank you.
Always so much fun to watch.
So let's talk the NBA.
Last thing. That game really helped elevate college basketball, in my opinion.
It was fun. It was fun.
Let's talk NBA.
It's April now, so I guess we could start paying attention to NBA basketball.
Wow.
Okay.
You're honest. I appreciate it.
I was paying attention in October, I'll be honest.
Well, yeah.
Why?
Because you were ready for Kobe's
farewell.
He was ready for Kobe's farewell tour.
That's fine.
We're in the Christian, this is a bit of history here for you. We're in the studio right now with probably the biggest Laker fan who goes to this school, and we have the honor of sitting with him in the studio the year the Lakers have lost the most games in franchise history.
Oh. Yo.
And then not only that, but you have your rookie first round pick ratting out his teammate for cheating on his wife.
Okay, that's a point. That's a point I was going to make.
Drew's more heartless than Kanye
this
West.
Is this is brilliant. It's just like, I mean, I know the Kings. I know my Sacramento Kings. We're the best reality show in NBA basketball. I mean, with the amount of egos we have, but
the Sacramento Queens.
That's the point I was going to make.
Kellen.
Seems like the only NBA stories throughout the regular season are off-court issues. I mean, we got Derek Fisher and Matt Barnes. We got Blake Griffin and the equipment guy or whatever he does in the Clippers organization.
I can't believe he punched him in the face.
Nick Young and D'Angelo Russell. You just said it. So all of them seem very childish to me. Very childish.
Well, D'Angelo Russell still is a child. Everyone in this room is older than him.
That's fair. No. That's fair. But
yeah, he should be a sophomore.
Okay, expand on that. Then why? Because they're still kids, and that's what the problem is.
Well, okay, D'Angelo Russell.
Derek Fisher and Matt
D'Angelo
Barnes
Russell
are not
still
kids.
A kid. Matt Barnes.
Yeah, exactly.
I will say this on live air and could care less. Matt Barnes is a punk. He's
okay.
a punk. He's a punk. I have seen it with my own eyes. He played at Del Campo High School in my league in California, coaching against one of my head coaches in the who when I was a kid watching him play. And he hit back to back threes, and after the second back to back three, he put one hand around his throat, the other one around his other area, and told our coach that he had none of those. So Matt Barnes,
well put.
Well put. Well put. That was safe. Safe.
Very descriptive.
Very. So that's what he did. From then on, I had no respect for Matt Barnes.
That's
zero
fair.
Respect for Matt Barnes.
No, that's fair.
Derek Fisher, one of the most respectable men in the game.
But
head of the NBA Players Association.
But he's in some drama.
But he's got some skeletons.
I mean, who doesn't? Let's be honest. We're not here to judge.
I'm just saying right now, he is one of the most respected, well-liked players in the game.
Right.
Well-liked coaches in the game. I really like Derek Fisher. Matt Barnes, have zero respect for. Nick Young.
Come on. Comical.
Dude's a clown.
Entertaining.
Bro. Dude's a clown.
He's entertaining.
I mean, D'Angelo
Russell, just too young to know better.
That's fair.
Okay, I mean, what was the other one?
Blake Griffin. Punching the equipment
Blake Griffin's
a monster. You should not throw a punch at this
little equipment guy. I can bet dollars to donuts there's alcohol involved in that situation.
Oh, I would love donuts right now. But
Kellen
is starving. What I mean? I guarantee you there was. That's the only.
But also, D'Angelo needs to figure out Snapchat. If that's currently what it was, that's 40 seconds. That's not quite a Snapchat there, D'Angelo. But to answer your question, Christian, that's a tough thing to say. I mean, there's very few mature professional athletes, especially in the NBA.
Oh, Lord.
I mean, I think LeBron is immature at times. Kobe's been very
immature. LeBron being immature? Of course he's immature. If you see what he does on social media,
yes.
He's quoting the Da Vinci Code.
Yes.
I mean, who cares?
So I'm going to give you a couple athletes.
He sounds like Confucius. Half his tweets you could crochet on pillows.
Oh,
I don't understand this man.
I'm going to give you a couple guys that are mature, and I hope you guys would agree with me. Tim Duncan, very mature.
Well, yeah, that's
the whole Spurs organization.
That's Mr. Fundamental. That's the vet.
Kawhi Leonard.
Very mature.
And Tom Brady.
Sure.
Yeah. I'd say he's mature. Yes, he has his off-field, but he's mature.
Mature. I'll give you
he's
mature.
Mature.
I'll
so
give you mature.
I just think there's very few mature professional athletes, and I think it's a little bit underrated to be mature. Kawhi Leonard flies under the radar, but there's no drama with the Spurs, and you got to love that sometimes.
Kawhi,
it's old school.
If I had to start my NBA franchise around a
you
player,
take Kawhi?
I'd take Kawhi
wow.
Leonard right now.
All right, let's transition to basketball then right now. So let's get off the court. Off the court issues, they're gone now.
They're gone now?
They're pretty much reality TV until about April. Now they're like, oh, they play basketball too. So, you know, everyone's talking about the Golden State Warriors. That's fair. That's fair. They're chasing history. But who else should we be paying attention to as the playoffs begin?
Boston Celtics.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
I know the Boston Celtics beat the Warriors. Now everyone's taking notice. But you should have taken notice about, I don't know, 10 years before.
Well, they've been third for a while now.
They have built their program the right way. They built through the draft. They built through free agency. They did not do this whole, what we rip the Sixers for, the whole tanking thing, bottoming out, whatever you want to call it. They didn't do it that way. They did it the right way. The Celtics did the right way. They got a bunch of young talent. They learned how to play together. They spread the ball. They do things the right way.
They have a great coach in Brad Stevens.
They have the best young coach in the NBA. Right now, in terms of coaches in the NBA, I'd probably go Pop, Kerr, Stevens.
Wow.
Guy's amazing. Mm-hmm. So, the Celtics. I think the Celtics beat Toronto in the Eastern Conference semis and lose to the Cavs in six.
Six, okay.
In the Eastern Conference Finals for the sole reason that they don't match up by size.
Right.
I think size is an issue. I think Jay Crowder and Isaiah Thomas are undersized for their positions, and that makes it an issue. That's it. I mean, Isaiah Thomas cannot affect it because what they'll do is exactly what I would do. Play LeBron at the point, put Amon at the two, put JR at the three, put Kevin at the four, put Mozgov at the five. And you make Isaiah Thomas guard Amon Shumpert or J.R. Smith, because he can't guard LeBron.
Right.
Okay?
Well, who can?
Who can? But you know what I mean? But he's too little. Too little. I mean, he's a little big fella. Don't get me wrong. I love some of the things that IT does.
He's a pit bull.
But he can't effectively guard any of those three guys. He can't. JR's instant offense, Amon's too long, and LeBron's too strong. That's it.
Yeah. That's fair. That's the end of the East.
That's fair. So I think the Celtics are good. I mean,
I like the Heat, though, Drew. I like the Heat.
Okay, the Heat can be very, very, very,
dangerous.
Very good. But it all depends on Goran Dragic's mind. If his head's in it, they're really good.
Will Chris Bosh, will he be back before
I don't know.
Playoff time?
Here's the thing. There's a couple injuries I don't mess with. Blood clots? Sit. I don't care who you are. I don't care what you do. Head injuries, you don't mess with. Blood clots, heart issues, you don't mess with.
Yeah.
Forget that. Sit.
Okay.
Right.
Here's the deal. I mean, if they can't win with – I mean, they play small right now with – they have a good team with Goran. They go Goran, Wade, Winslow, Dang, Whiteside. that's not bad.
Yeah.
You can
yeah.
at least get to the semis.
And Dwayne
Wade. Especially in the East.
And you know what? LeBron historically struggled versus the Heat since he's left. Yes,
absolutely. So Dwayne Wade, 34 years old, he's only missed 9 games. He's healthy.
We could see the Heat maybe steal one from the Cavs if the Cavs continue down this road.
I think the
terribleness.
Heat
and I Cavs, think if the Heat go, the Celtics will be in the finals because I think the Celtics can beat the Heat if the Heat upset the Cavs.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point.
Good points.
That's good.
Give me one from the West. Give me a sleeper from the West. Then we got to wrap this segment up.
There is no sleeper from the West, Christian. I mean,
give me a sleeper.
The Western Conference Finals is going to be the Warriors and the Spurs.
Right.
The Thunder don't have a shot because they're not unified enough.
I don't say they don't have a shot. I think they have a shot.
They're not going to beat either of those teams in 7 games.
Yeah, and that's fair. But I think they'll be competitive.
I know how that's going to go.
They'll be competitive.
Here's the deal. It's just like 2 years ago was the best playoffs I've ever watched when the Western Conference, every single series went 7 games in the first round, and every game was going into overtime. I don't know if you remember that series like 2 years ago. It was incredible when the Grizzlies did their huge run.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that was awesome. That was when the Western Conference was like a coin flip. Like, you knew the Spurs were going to be in, but everything else was up for grabs.
Right.
Now you know who's coming out of the West and the East. You know.
I think the Spurs and Warriors, I think it's going to go seven. I think the Warriors will win, Christian, but I think it's going to go seven.
I think the Warriors are going to lose 3 games in the entire playoffs they play. I think they'll sweep the first round. I think they'll lose 1 in the second round, and I think they'll go 6 versus the Spurs in the finals.
All right. So what's your NBA finals matchup then, guys?
I'm going to go with, and this is so, this oh, man.
Warriors-Cavs.
It's so easy to say.
I'm sorry. Tell me who's going to beat the Cavs in the Eastern Conference.
It's so boring. People said that in what? When does September?
Well, hey, once the Celtics get Kevin Durant next year, they'll beat the Cavs.
No, Celtics aren't getting Kevin Durant.
I think they are. That's just my opinion.
Celtics aren't getting Kevin Durant.
Interesting. We'll have to see.
That's a story out there. Adam Schefter reported it. So, folks, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to discuss a tough deal of the week. It has to do with all sports. Find out what that tough deal is next. This is Mass Radio Sports Talk presented by 2.5 Athletes on Loop Air Student Radio. Drew, have fun in class.
Hey, thank you, man.
No more boys will be boys. No more, what's the big deal?
No more,
it's just the way he is.
No more, he just has a temper.
No more, but he's such a nice guy.
No more, but he has such a bright future.
No more, not my problem.
No more, I'll say something next time.
No more, why didn't she tell anyone?
No more, why doesn't she just leave?
No more, I'm sure they'll work it out.
No more, she seems fine to me.
No more. What was she wearing?
No more. She was drunk.
No more. He was drunk.
No more. She was asking for it.
No more. She never said no.
No more. Not in this family.
No more. Not on this team.
No more. We don't talk about that.
No more bystanding.
No more ignorance.
No more excuses.
No more.
Welcome back, folks, to Mass Radio Sports Talk presented by 2.5 Athletes. This show is a convergence of mass media with Laser, Lou Air Student Radio. If at any time you want to join in the conversation, call the show at 253-535-7332. Again, folks, for those of you scoring at home, that is 253-535-7332. All right, Christian, so I had the pleasure of dealing with a tough deal of the week, and it takes us to the football field, it takes us to the baseball field, and also on the basketball court, as well as basically every sport you can think of. So the tough deal of the week for me is, should we measure greatness by championships? Now, I read this on www.thesportster.com. I'll read this real quick for you. Now, when Steve Nash retired recently, the discussions were about how great his career would have been if he had won a ring. He had an amazing career. Every sport has their greats that never get over that hump. Nash, Charles Barkley, Dan Marino, Ken Griffey Jr. All great players, no championships. The debate often asks, would you rather have the career of Steve Nash, a two-time MVP, or someone like Robert Horry, who has 6 championships, who's, you know, he's an NBA player, so obviously he's a good basketball player, but he's more of an average role player. So the debate exists because it's so difficult to separate the players from one another, especially the best players, and the championship success may be a valid measure when comparing stars like Peyton Manning and Tom Brady, because the rest of their careers were so equally great. So luck has more to do with winning a championship than we think. And if you started your career today and you could choose to be a 2-time MVP, a generational defining player like Steve Nash, or a solid role player on teams like Robert Horry, it should be no contest, correct? So Christian, your thoughts kind of on that little article there by the Sportster.com.
Well, I'm just curious, you know, what would you choose to be? Because, ooh, you know, depending on what your mindset is, do you want the championships? Or do you want to be known as, like, this great singular player who just was never able to win the big one?
Yeah.
Which would you pick?
Maybe I'll get some heat for this, but I honestly would rather be a two-time MVP.
Wow.
And I know that sounds kind of selfish a little bit, but it's one of those things where I just think for myself, I want to get the best out of my ability, and it's one of those things where I want to help my team win in every facet of the game. And, I look at Steve Nash, I look at Charles Barkley, you look at Dan Marino, those guys, I don't think – yes, at the end of the day, I know that they wish they would have had a championship, but I think if you ask them, hey, you can have one ring, but you don't have any MVPs, or you're not really a generational game changer, I think they would say, you know what, no, I'm going to stick with my two-time MVPs. I'm going to stick with my deals that I still have today. Mm-hmm. Charles Barkley is an analyst for a reason because he's a well-known guy. So I would honestly go with that one. What about you, Christian?
It's a tough question for me. Personally, I've never been the guy on any other team, you know, that's why I'm the half athlete now of 2.5 athletes, you know.
But you can shoot the three ball.
I can, but, you know, that's a role.
That's true. That's a good point.
That's what I have been.
Yeah. A Ray Allen.
So part of me is just like, you know what, I don't really care. We need to win.
Mm-hmm.
So part of me, I guess, just in my background, I want to be on that team that's getting the job done and contributing in the way that I can, the best way. That's just where I sit at it, though. It's my mindset towards that.
Right.
Right. If I'm doing, you know, what I'm good at and it's helping my team be better, that's what I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Now, see, I mean, I'm extremely competitive, and it's one of those things, mm-hmm, where it's like I almost hate losing more than I enjoy winning. And so it's like, I mean, all I want to do is win. For me, and, you know, the blue curve way, as we kind of describe it with Peoria football, it's about enjoying the trip. It's about, you know, it's at the end of the day, it's not about how many wins you have. It's about, did you get better? Did you have fun? Did you enjoy the process? Enjoy the trip? All those kind of different things. But it's like, I don't know. I just really believe at the end of the day, it's like, I want to be an impact player. I want to be that guy that can really help my team. Now, granted, if I'm one of those guys that comes into the league and am destined to be a role player, of course I would want to be a Robert Horry. But it's like, if I get a full ride scholarship to play basketball at a high school to go to college, let's say I go to Ohio State or something like that, I get drafted in the first or second round, I want to come into the NBA and be somebody that can make an impact and be able to be a guy that can be a legacy kind of player. You look at, you know, Kobe Bryant, obviously he's so driven to win championships, but he's also the greatest player. So he was very, very fortunate. And you look at a guy like Steve Nash and Kobe Bryant, they're both great basketball players. But I think this article had a great point. It's like luck and being fortunate and having everything fall into place has everything to do with it. You know, you look at teams that have injuries late in the season and they don't make the playoffs or they don't make that final game, but a team that might not be as good, they stay healthy throughout the whole playoffs and they win the championship. That's kind of them being lucky. That's them being fortunate. So it's not like Charles Barkley wasn't a great basketball player. He just wasn't, you know, necessarily on the right team.
He never got in the right situation.
Tracy McGrady.
Those are all fine examples. I guess it goes to kind of the mindset. Of course, you know, when you're little, you're all dreaming about, you know, oh, I'm going to be the best player on the team. I'm going to be the guy.
Yeah.
But I think that, you know, part of the self-recognition, once you get into positions to help a team or an organization or really anything, any spot you are in your life, whether it be your job or whatever, doing what you do the best of your abilities to make the whole group, the whole organization, the whole team better. It's just, it comes down to, I guess, the player's mindset. Really, honestly, that's what I think.
Right. But don't you agree that you have to be also lucky to even...
There is, yes. There is, you know, there is an element of, like you say, in professional sports, we see health come up and bite teams the most. It's always the health bug.
Right.
Right. And if you stay healthy all year, you're probably going to have a pretty good chance of being there in the end. If you don't, you're right. There's an element of luck when those injuries happen that, you know, it's tough to avoid.
And you look at Ben Simmons, a guy who, in my opinion, is the greatest basketball player right now in college basketball. A freshman, you look at his stats, I think it's like 20-12-8 or something like that. Just a crazy stat line. And he went to LSU, not a very known basketball school. Mm-hmm. Shaq went there. Mm-hmm. But it's one of those things where I think for him, he was just like, you know what? I want to go to the school and be the guy.
Yeah.
Rather than go to a Duke or Kentucky and kind of be...
Be another one of the guys.
Exactly. Yeah. So I just think everyone thinks differently. And I also think, you know, it's interesting. We can talk to Lacey when she comes on here in the next segment. It's like when you choose schools, sometimes, you know, you can be a... what do they call it? A big fish in a small pond,
mm-hmm.
or a small fish in a big pond, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think at PLU sometimes when I chose to come here, I knew I have a pretty decent chance at for playing for 4 years rather than go to Oregon State, take the preferred walk-on spot or the scholarship at Central and maybe play 2 or 3 years. You
right.
know what I mean? So
right.
I think it's all about a mindset, Christian. I really believe that.
Yeah. No, I'm with you right there, man. It's just, it does.
It's a tough deal. Yes, that's why.
Yes.
It's kind of
leaving me speechless right now. I just think that, you know, it's all in the preference of what each player wants to be in mm-hmm. their own mind.
Right.
Right. Obviously all of us want to be the best that we can be, but if the best that you can be is a 3-point shooter that helps the team win, recognize that and be that.
And I think coaches recruit players that are like, you're a game changer. You're going to be a role player for a couple of years.
Sure.
So I think coaches know when they bring players in, what it's going to be like. And I think their roles for the future, and it can change. I mean, a guy can, you know, be recruited as maybe a three-star recruit, but, you know, come to be one of the best players that's been in the program. So mm-hmm. I think it can change over time. But, yeah, I don't know. I really believe for myself, if I had the career of like a Steve Nash compared to a, you know, a Robert Horry or something like that, that it would be one of those things where I would choose Steve Nash, I think, just because, granted, Robert Horry's, and he is the definition of lucky. You know what I mean? I mean, he's a good player. He had a big shot against the Sacramento Queens, you know, back in 2002. But it's one of those, and he's known for that shot. He also hit a big shot when he was on the Spurs. So he's kind of a clutch factor, kind of like a Paul Pierce. But in my opinion, he is, and I think he would tell you, it's like when LeBron was getting shunned for not having any rings. And you compare him to Robert Horry, who has 6. That's mm-hmm. a totally unfair argument. Wouldn't you mm-hmm. agree?
Yeah. Yeah. Can we shift this to coaches, though? I got one question for you. Like, Phil Jackson, 11 rings. He coached Michael Jordan in his prime. He coached Kobe Bryant in his prime. Is he that good of coach?
Ooh, that's a great argument as well. And see, somebody made that argument a couple weeks ago on the sports radio. It's like, well, Phil Jackson had all these great players. Does that make him a great coach? I think every great coach has had great players, though, in their past. Wouldn't you agree? You know, you
sure.
look at John Wooden, who has 11 championships.
Sure.
I mean, I don't have his rosters in front of me, but I'm sure a lot of those guys were some great players. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, you know, guys like that. And, you know, Bill Walton, all those kind of different players. So I think a lot of it has to do with luck. A lot of it has to do with, you know, in recruiting with my dad here at PLU, it's like, well, if he has a great 5-star recruit – and he wants to go to Linfield or PLU, it's probably going to come down to the financial aid.
Mm-hmm.
Who's going to give them more money? Because mm-hmm. in Division III sports, you really can't offer any scholarships. And so I think a lot of the time has to do with luck. Robert Horry, in my opinion, like we said, very, very lucky player, fortunate to win 6 rings. Again, he would beat anybody in a pickup game right now, one-on-one.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not like he's a guy like Steve Nash who just wasn't quite. And Steve Nash got the Suns to the Western Conference Finals like almost back-to-back years.
Mm-hmm.
And they had some great playoff runs against the Lakers, but he ran into a better team. And in my opinion, that's why he never got a ring.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know, man. It's a tough deal.
It really is.
I don't know. Of course you want to be the best, but maybe you aren't. You know, like, I don't know what else there is to say about it. You just, you either are the guy that everyone looks to, or you're a part of the machine that gets the job done.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I think let's do a 20-minute segment with Lacey. Is that okay, Christian?
That works for me.
We'll take a quick break. So, folks, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to introduce you to our new guest host. I guess I kind of just gave her name away. Lacey Nicholson. You may have seen her in Olson Auditorium raining gem shots. This is Mass Radio Sports Talk presented by 2.5 Athletes on Loot Air Student Radio.
Hey, everybody. Let's all lean in together.
Show the world you support women at work and at home.
When men lean in, everyone wins.
Help women aim high.
My brother would always pick me above his friends to be on his basketball teams.
It's moments like that that you carry with you forever.
Hi, men. Are you?
Welcome back, sports fans. Mass Radio Sports Talk presented by 2.5 Athletes. Wow, this has been fun, Christian.
Yeah.
I'm excited. We were given an hour in our first week, and as soon as our first show was done, we were granted a second hour, in my opinion, Christian, because of how much fun we had and the enthusiasm we brought to it, and I think they saw that in our eyes, and so this is so exciting. Folks, we try to improve our show each week, week after week. We try to do some different stuff with bumpers, with different kinds of music, and all that kind of stuff with interviews, also some phone calls from our viewers that are listening that aren't quite in studio, and so this has been so much fun.
Mm-hmm.
So, wow, we found another athlete, Christian.
We
did. To bring into the studio, Lacey Nicholson, welcome to the show. This is exciting.
Thank you.
We got to get a clap sound, though, because that's a real clap, folks.
We'll work on it. We'll work on it.
I'm sure they already thought that, though. But Lacey, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. I'm really excited for this opportunity to join you guys and 2.5 athletes, and I think we're going to see a slight name change in the future if this is a constant thing for me to be showing up here.
I mean,
well,
we
see,
might.
Here's the thing. I mean, you know, Drew had to go to class.
You just came from class.
So we can still be 2.5 athletes. And in my opinion, I think you're a better athlete than Drew
anyway. Yeah, I think I'd have to agree. Yeah.
Oh, here we go.
And Drew's probably listening with one earbud in class right now. So.
Uh-oh. Shots fired.
Oh, my goodness. This is great. All right, Lacey, it's great to have you on the show. We're all excited to see the type of perspective you're going to bring and, you know, all that good stuff. The three of us will feel that you make the show better, and we're excited to have you on. So we want to let the listeners, you know, get a chance to get to know Lacey Nicholson. So tell us about yourself, where you're from, hobbies away from school, all that fun stuff.
Give us your Facebook profile bio.
All right. So I am from Sammamish, Washington. I attended Skyline High School, which local people may know is a big sports school.
Oh,
take
yeah.
a lot mm-hmm. of pride in our sports. So that was fun going there. I was able to watch a lot of the sports teams.
Amazing football team.
Football team, and it was great because a lot of those guys were some of my close friends, so that was really fun to watch, and I actually still keep in contact with a lot of them who went on to play at the collegiate level.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, other than that, I guess my hobbies are obviously sports. I love watching sports. I love talking about sports, and I love playing sports. I really have a passion for basketball. I played soccer all through high school, but decided to play basketball at the next level. But other than sports and academics, I really cherish my time with family and friends. So
that's yeah. fantastic.
Awesome. So I played against Skyline my senior year of high school.
Okay.
Second round of the playoffs, and we lost.
How'd that go for you?
We lost, but I just got that atmosphere, and that it's not a very big stadium. There's not, but you know, everyone can stand around. I mean, Lacey, it felt like a kind of a small college atmosphere. Mm-hmm. It was so cool. And like I said, I think, is there just kind of a confidence that those guys have in the hallway? Just, is it Skyline football? It's just by tradition they've won. Is that kind of what it's like going to school there and you know, hanging out with those guys?
Yeah, it definitely is a tradition that they've carried on. And you were talking about the stadium, how it was a little smaller. They've actually advanced the stadium and added another set of stands
wow.
to the other side. So I haven't been to Skyline in a couple of years, but I've driven past it and seen that the stadium has already grown so
yeah.
much since I've graduated. But yeah, the guys, really great guys. They have great values. I think I can compare them a lot to the Emals here at PLU. They take pride in what they do, but they're also gentlemen off the field.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And they kind of have that, is it We Are Sparta? Is that kind of still?
Yeah,
the,
yeah, yeah. Huge sign going into the field,
yeah.
going into the stadium. This is Sparta.
Yeah.
So.
Because I played against guys like, you know, Kaysen Williams, mm-hmm. Jake Heaps, Gino Simone, Jordan Simone,
yep.
his younger brother. And you watch those guys on TV. Kaysen Williams, obviously now with the Seahawks. And
mm-hmm.
I'm sure that's so cool for you to see that they went to your high school.
Right. And then my class was more Max Brown, who's
oh,
at
Max
USC.
Brown, USC.
Hopefully going to get an opportunity this next coming season.
And he's about 6'6".
Yeah,
he's
6'6".
He looks like Napoleon Dynamite.
He's awesome. He's got a great personality. Yeah, Peyton Pluer is at Wazoo. And then Nick Splendorio is at Eastern Washington. And then we had a handful of D3 football
yeah.
players that went on to play as well.
That's so awesome. So, Lacey, you transferred from Concordia, Oregon. You know, what brought you to PLU? You know, whenever you transferred there, obviously there was something that attracted you mm-hmm. to come here. What was that?
So I left Concordia after 1 year, so I came to PLU my sophomore year. What really attracted me was just the community feeling when I walked onto campus. I really liked the small campus feel, but then also to add, there was the basketball aspect of things. I knew I wanted to continue playing basketball at this level, and I met Coach Childress here on campus, and she totally caught my attention. She's just an extremely passionate coach, and she was looking to change the culture of our women's basketball program.
And you're the captain, right?
I'm the captain, yeah. She was looking to change the culture of the women's basketball program, and because she's been the coach now for 3 years, and so she kind of threw this opportunity at me, knowing my leadership skills and knowing what I was capable of doing, and she wanted to work with me in changing the culture of the program, and I think we have made tremendous strides in doing that.
And I can attest to that. I mean, being a broadcaster, Christian and Lacey, watching you guys, just watching the way you guys warm up, you know, to the way you guys greet each other when you come off the court, those little things make a big difference. And it's going to be exciting to see, you know, for your junior campaign and senior campaign to see, or excuse me, your senior campaign, how, mm-hmm. how that's going to attest, you know, throughout the rest of the season. And I'm sure a lot of it has to do with her and just the way that she's built this program. She's you ever talk to her? She's intense.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure you love that, you know, playing for a coach that's intense.
Absolutely. She's a very passionate coach, like I said. But the one thing I really appreciate about Coach Childress is that we have such a great relationship off the court. We're able to really get after it on the court, in practice, during games. I trust her with every play, every decision she makes in a game situation. But off the court, I'm able to talk to her about personal things. And
you guys text at all?
Yeah, yeah, that's almost cool. Daily we're texting, whether it's about basketball or just life. So
yeah, that's really cool.
It's a great relationship we have.
So speaking of just life, what's it like being a student athlete here at PLU? Because there's the, oh man, I got to go to class now. Like,
right.
I'm sure we all, I felt that way at times.
Right.
Confession a little bit. But what's it like to balance sports and school?
I think that's a special thing about being an athlete at the D3 level is that we're able to really focus on school first. We're a student athlete, so we put school ahead of sports and make school our first priority, which I have done over my past 3 years as a student athlete. And yeah, it gets challenging at times for sure. You really have to time manage and communicate well with your professors and your coaching staff. And one thing I appreciate about PLU is how open the professors are to helping student athletes, and they're just always have an open door policy, and it's very easy to approach a professor if you need help in a class.
So the academics part, you're a journalism major, correct?
That is correct.
Okay, so why do you want to do this radio stuff?
I don't know. I think I'm just trying to get a feel for different types of communication. I'm interested in journalism. I'm interested in television broadcasting, so I'm thinking this radio thing, I like it so far.
Do you like Aaron Andrews? Do you kind of have some that you
look up to?
Yeah,
role models.
I would say Aaron Andrews is the main one. Mm-hmm. I mean, she's gorgeous to start, but she's also just great at what she does.
She'll never text me back. I don't understand.
She doesn't text you back.
How did you get her number?
That's a great question.
We won't tell.
That's awesome. So, you know, Lacey, we had my dad on.
Right.
Asked him what his favorite football movie was. I asked Tanner Bogart, you know, senior captain outfielder, what his favorite movie was. I got to ask you your favorite basketball movie. If you have a lot of them, maybe do a top three for us, and then I'll give you my favorite basketball movie when you're finished.
Basketball movie, I'd have to go with Coach Carter. Mm-hmm. I've only seen it a couple times, but I just like the passion that's developed and how players.
Samuel Jackson, great actor.
Right, and how players are developed throughout the course of the movie, mm-hmm. which is fun to see. But I am such a sucker for
Don't say Like Mike.
No. Oh, I love Like Mike, though. That's a childhood favorite.
Yeah, that's fair.
No, not a movie, but the TV show One Tree Hill has some basketball in it.
okay. Stretching that one there, I think.
I mean, it has a good mix of drama with athletics, and I'm a girl, so I enjoy the drama aspect
Does
of it.
Does High School Musical now count romantic. As far as basketball movies and whatnot? No, but One Tree Hill can?
I was a fan of Zac Efron in his earlier days.
I still am a fan.
But I think I grew up and he grew up, so yeah.
Baywatch, he'll be coming out with a new show, Baywatch, coming up.
See you in that?
See, I enjoy, he and The Rock are in that.
Okay, I'm in Talk for The Rock. It. I'll be in for The Rock. Maybe not Zac Efron, but...
See, for me, I'm a little bit old school. I like Hoosiers.
Right.
Have you guys seen Hoosiers?
Good pick.
It's just, I mean, my dad and grandpa have been showing clips of that movie, you know, since before I was born. But just to watch, you know, and Gene Hackman, a great, you know, Hollywood actor, just to watch kind of a, you know, a high school, you know, be brought up. And I think, is it in the state of Iowa? I'm not sure if it's in Iowa or
it's Midwest.
It's Midwest for sure.
Indiana.
It could be.
What the heck?
That's a great point.
No, that's where it is.
Indiana Hoosiers. That's what I'm saying. It's a great point that you said.
Yeah, it's in Indiana is what I'm saying.
Okay, that's what I said. It's a great point. But I think for me also, I enjoy Love and Basketball.
Oh,
I don't
that's
know,
a good one.
That could be a date night for you and John tonight. Not sure what your guys' schedules are.
He's not
but
much of a basketball fan. But
he's not much of a – but he's
How does that work? Hold on, time out. Well, actually.
But he's at the games, though. He's at the games.
Right. He's a good supporter.
He is, for mm-hmm. sure. I see – I'm up broadcasting. I see him down there hobbling with his knee and all that stuff. This is kind of – this is not on the script per se, but what's it been like, you know, being a girlfriend – when you have a boyfriend who just had a crazy injury, how has that been with the support system? I've dealt with that injury before. I mean, how strong has John been? Because I know for sure, being one of his better friends, he's been just courageous through it. Mm-hmm. I mean, have you kind of – has that been a tough, you know, support system call for you?
Yeah. let's see. He doesn't – he really doesn't show weakness in front of the football team because he is that strong leader and he wants to be able to show that he's persevering through things. And I really don't see – much weakness either, even in our personal lives away from everyone else. Mm-hmm. I think he has a lot of support from his family. They're always checking in. They're always there for him. And yeah, I've been there for him every step of the way. Mm-hmm. So he's on his way. He's almost 6 months since surgery.
Yeah.
So he's getting there.
And you guys had a great spring break, went down to Arizona.
Right.
Got to see a couple of games, baseball and basketball, I think it was.
Yeah, we went to Mariners spring training. And then we also went to a Suns game.
And I think nice. That was John's first NBA game, I think.
Yeah.
Was that your first, too, or had you been to Portland?
No, I've been.
Okay, cool.
What a spring break. That's man, oh, man.
Yeah, it was.
And you obviously
good
got
times.
Some sun as well.
Right.
Any other fun facts about Lacey Nicholson that the listeners should know? Anything else you got? Anything you want the people to know? Just thinking about it.
Let me think about this.
That's a tough question, Christian.
That's a really tough question.
I mean you're going to be a regular here.
A fun fact about me, I have webbed toes. I mean, I'm a good swimmer.
Is that why you're always barefoot in here?
No, I got the flip-flops. I like being comfortable.
Okay.
Comfort right. before style.
All right.
Okay, I'm definitely not a good swimmer, if that's a fun fact.
Oh, there you go.
Are you afraid of swimming, or you just
I'm not afraid. I just am not good at it.
It's like instinct, though. Like, I got a problem with this now. It's like what you do to not die. Like, how are you not good
well,
at
it? Well, I can tread water for a little, but I can't, like, move.
Oh, okay.
Can't do the all breaststroke right. or
Lacey,
butterfly.
Lacey, what's a fun sport that you play that's not basketball? What's your other favorite sport that you like to play?
Well, I grew up playing soccer. I played soccer all through my senior year. I did not play for Skyline because they were state champions, I think, 4 out of 5 years
Jeez.
That I was there.
That ain't bad.
Yeah. So they just had a really intense program that I wasn't able to focus on basketball as much
right.
as I wanted to if I were to play.
Mm-hmm.
With the summer leagues, I'm sure that they had.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I was able to play on a club team. I was on a premier soccer team, Arsenal. I played through my senior year, and my coach was very flexible with my basketball schedule. So mm-hmm. it was more just for fun, but I really enjoyed my teammates, and I enjoyed playing the game.
Now, you basically have gone to every home game that John's been a part of. Mm-hmm. How cool would it be to have a football stadium on campus?
Oh, gosh.
Yes.
Yeah, I think that would be awesome. I'm counting down the days.
Mm-hmm. I got a problem with whoever set that up. That turf field out there, like, why didn't they just finish it? Like,
I think,
put the lines down,
yeah.
and then you could mm-hmm. build the stadium
I think it has
later.
To do with parking, is what
really?
Lauren Turner told me. Yeah, parking is...
There's 40 lots right there.
I mean,
there's
my perfect... My vision was... tear down Foss and put the football field right in the middle
right
of campus.
Right in the middle.
How
oh,
cool
wow.
would that be?
That would be very
that
cool.
That would be awesome.
But now there's also a parking deal with that too, but I just think that would be so cool.
I'm just
cool.
saying, like, you got close to having it.
Right.
Just put the extra lines down and you got a football stadium. Mm-hmm.
Well,
you
I
have
do
the
think...
beginning of the, you have the field where the football games
and
take
And it's interesting because we play our bomber games, basically our JV squad games. We play those games on campus. We play our inner squad game on campus. So
there's one field goal post already down there in the far end, isn't there?
Only one,
Put
yeah.
another one up. Okay, POU, if you're listening, why didn't you just finish it?
Yeah, it's a great – I mean, I think parking has a lot
well,
to do
I think,
with it, though.
And I think money has a lot to do
– oh,
I mean,
yeah.
that's
how
a huge aspect.
How
I mean,
much did extra lines cost?
I mean, well,
and
there's
you
a lot
to,
more that goes
into
it.
You have to think of the
oh,
stands
okay.
and
– no, no.
And there's
the
so many –
start.
There's other things –
It's a start, for sure.
Yeah. there's other things on campus that we're trying to focus our money towards. I mean,
that's
we
fair.
Can't only focus on athletics, you know. But there are things – within athletics, like, what's the first priority that we're going to spend our money on? Is it going to be extending Names Fitness Center to make it larger because mm-hmm. the entire student population is expected to work out in Names?
Possibly having a student athlete, or excuse me, an athlete only
an
weight room.
An athlete only weight
right.
room,
yeah.
right?
Yeah, that's absolutely true. Last question here. Is that okay, Christian?
Yeah.
Lacey, you walk into your room. What do you see? Posters up. What do you got on the wall?
In my room. Actually, my room is very girly and put together. I wouldn't say it's always clean, but it's very... my mom's best friend is an interior designer, so
oh,
I
wow.
was lucky to have her come in and kind of just take over my entire room this last summer. And so I don't have... I have my basketball wall, which has all my pictures and accomplishments on it. But other than that, I got I got flowers. I got candles. It's, yeah. It's very girly.
Yeah. Not now, your boyfriend John works at Domino's. How often do you take advantage of that?
Oh, gosh.
Because I would be all on that cinnamon, bread with the little frosting.
It's to die for. I guess the first couple weeks he was working there, we really spoiled ourselves because he gets 50% off discount, which is awesome.
Yeah.
So we just kind of went after it the first couple weeks. But then we were like, okay, we should probably slow it down here or else we're going to have to bump up the cardio, which we don't want to do that either. So.
That's fantastic.
Lacey, thank you so much for joining us. We're really excited to have kind of Lacey's Losers, if you will, possible future segment.
Yeah, you got to pick right now. Lacey's Losers, is that what we're going to go to?
I love it.
I like
that. So Lacey's Losers, here's the idea behind Lacey's Losers. All right, people in sports make mistakes all the time. There's, you know, we talked about it earlier with the NBA, Nick Young and D'Angelo Russell. Well, Lacey's going to give her take on, you know, who was a loser, who should have done it better. And
she's our own TMZ. It's
amazing. maybe Kellen and I might disagree.
Right.
We might disagree with what she has to say, but... it's Lacey's take on a mistake that someone has done in the sporting world. So we're excited to have
that
as a part of the show.
Awesome. Thanks again, Lacey. So, folks, we are just about done here with Mass Radio Sports Talk presented by 2.5 Athletes. Make sure to listen to Laser all weekend to hear cool shows throughout the weekend. Today has been so much fun. I am Kellen Westring.
And I'm Christian Bond. Tune into the show next week on Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. We're out of here. See ya. Take it slow.